From ESG Post in Singapore, I'm Zara Maung and this is the ESG Podcast. Colleen Palaganas is Vice President for Sustainability at SM Investments Corporation, a retail banking and property company in the Philippines. I talked to her about SM's role in delivering the Sustainable Development Goals in the Philippines and its strategy on climate adaptation and mitigation in a country that is particularly vulnerable to the effects of climate change. Thank you for joining me, Colleen. Could you give me some background on SM Investments Corporation and its sustainability achievements to date?
Yes, thank you, Sarah, for having us and giving us this opportunity to share about SM. Well, SM is the largest conglomerate in the Philippines with interest in retail, banking, and property. So it started out as a small shoe store, and our sustainability culture traces back from our founder, the late Henry C. Sr., who founded SM with inclusiveness in the center of its business model. So what he wanted was to provide quality products and make it more accessible and affordable to majority of the Filipinos. So with this, as we grew, we now harness the synergy among our businesses, that's retail, property, and banking. And harnessing these synergies help us give us the opportunity to help energize local economies in the Philippines. And to date, as our sustainability achievements or where we have come this far, we still have a long way to go. But we are very proud to say that we are one of the largest job creators in the country. We create about 350,000 jobs directly and indirectly. We work with about 25,000 micro, small, and medium enterprises throughout our supply chain. And as the largest developer, given that we are in the Philippines where climate change is very real to us, the effect of it because of typhoons that we have in the country, we have allocated 10% of our CAPEX to disaster resiliency and technologies for responsible consumption. And also in a poor country like the Philippines, well, more so developing country, we also see our responsibility in providing a more equitable access to social development, particularly in the areas of education and healthcare.
And what is your process for understanding which sustainability issues are most material to your business? And how do you engage with stakeholders as part of your materiality assessment?
Yes, our stakeholders is really central to who we are and how we do our business, particularly that we are very much in touch with our customers because we're the biggest retailer in the country. So understanding what is most material to our business lies in our strategy of achieving our vision. Our vision actually is to build world-class businesses that are catalysts for development in the communities we serve. So there are two themes here in our vision. One is to build the world-class businesses, which for us, it means like having innovative products and services that meets the evolving needs of our customers, even anticipating the trends around how it would affect consumer behavior. It also means that our businesses are aligned with global best practices, particularly in governance and professionalism. Now, the second part is being catalysts for development in the communities we serve. For us, it means that we are able to create shared value for all our stakeholders, and we are able to measure this and check our impact, no, and get their feedback. So to us, how we assess it is we find an intersection of these two prominent themes. We work with our stakeholders through various avenues. Some are online surveys, some are formal and informal dialogues. We work with them. We even have grievance mechanisms. More so, we also speak to our suppliers, our employees. So we speak to the public at large as well. So with this, we take consideration of all the things they give us as their concerns, while we look into our own analysis and itemize our commitments to address both needs. That's how we identify our materiality. And also, of course, to put into consideration what is material for the industry.
What are the biggest sustainability challenges and opportunities faced by SM in Philippines today, and how are you addressing them?
The challenges faced by SM is very similar to what the country generally is facing. And the most significant and prominent one is the effects of climate change. The Philippines is identified as number three, I believe, as vulnerable countries impacted by the effects of climate change. We have about 20 typhoons a year, and the losses in these typhoons are a huge amount for the Philippines and for the private sector. So for us, disaster resiliency is a very important factor for us to address our challenges in the Philippines. So SM has taken the lead role in UNISDR, which we campaign for businesses to make disaster resiliency an important component of business, of which we also help our MSMEs develop resilience through the SM Resiliency Center, because we have a symbiotic relationship with our supply chain. So another thing we also identified as a challenge, well, is also an opportunity. It's actually a double-edged sword. The UN cited the Philippines to be entering a demographic sweet spot where the working age population outnumbers the dependency age population. So job creation is very critical for us to optimize this sweet spot. So SM, we see our role in creating jobs, direct and indirect. And the more we support MSMEs and other suppliers for SM, both SM and our suppliers are able to create and generate jobs. Another thing also is where we employ the people. So 80% of the people we employ are in the locality where our malls are and all our businesses are. And I think mostly these are the two challenges that also are actually opportunities for us. So because climate change is a risk that we have in the Philippines, underlying it is an opportunity for the Philippines to create innovative city designs. At the end of the day, we have to be able to find a solution where our civilization generally and our businesses and the way we live our life is able to thrive despite all these challenges. So with SM, we see this opportunity in city designs. We are the largest integrated city developer. So when we design cities, right away, we look into disaster resiliency on the onset of our designs. Another thing is that we look into is how to create urban centers where more and more young people are coming to the city to work. And we want to make to address mobility. You know, the Philippines is known for its traffic, the very, very congested traffic. So one of our property group, which is a residential development, it has taken the lead in redefining living spaces in urban areas. So what it has done is it has smaller individual living spaces, but larger common spaces such as study areas, exercise gardens, and all that. This will allow to accommodate higher population densities in the city without having to shortchange or shortchange the quality of life that they are aspiring for. So that is one big opportunity we have. And another one really is our engagement with MSMEs. So we see this as an opportunity because we are in a position to engage with MSMEs and give them the opportunity to be part of formal retailing. And as we grow, and we plan to build 4 to 5 malls a year, we bring them with us. So as we grow, they grow. And as they get stronger, we become more resilient as well. So this is an opportunity we really see. And in a country like the Philippines, it is important for us to build a robust ecosystem for micro, small, and medium enterprises, because that could be our road to a broader stability in our economic plans for the country.
Large corporations are seen as somewhat of a threat to SMEs sometimes. How are you balancing the SMEs' needs in your supply chain?
Yes, sometimes I agree with you that most of the time large corporations are seen as threats to MSMEs. But in our case, we are able to leverage on the synergy of our businesses. MSMEs face the largest challenge of financing. And this is where our banks can come in and provide products, innovative products with a more liberal scheme for them to be able to finance their business in scale. So I think once we have an MSME into our supply chain, number one is we help them in their marketing and pricing, because this is also a big area where they are very challenged next to multinationals. The other one is their ability to scale, of which financing is one of their challenges, and we bring in our banks. And number three is we also provide events in our malls that give special attention to MSMEs, taking the attention of the consumer, raising awareness of the consumer that the MSMEs can actually provide very good products at affordable price rates. At the same time, they are helping the local economy. And now the consumer is very, very much conscious about these things. So I think it's a very opportune time for MSMEs to actually penetrate the more competitive market.
What about SMEs or suppliers in rural areas? Are you actually working outside of urban areas as well?
Yes, we are. So, since our strategy is to for sustainable growth is to energize local economies, when we enter an economy, we have a non-food we have a food sector in our retail. That means our supermarket chains, and particularly perishable goods. We make sure we try to work with local suppliers. Our SM Foundation actually trains farmers. More sustainable way of farming. Although we still need to help them meet like the scale that we need, we usually give priority to local suppliers in the area. So we have 7,000 plus islands. So you could see that once we enter a city in a particular island, it is even wiser for us to engage the suppliers there because of mobility. And to keep our costs down as well.
How do you see all of these challenges and opportunities actually evolving in the future?
We have about 70 plus malls. Despite that, we could see that we still have a lot of opportunities, particularly in our islands in Mindanao and the Visayas. So we believe that with the same model we have, we still have a lot of space to scale. So as we scale, we are hoping to engage more suppliers in farther islands of the Philippines that otherwise would not have the opportunity to enter organized retailing. So I think for this is where we see a lot of opportunity still. And along with it, we bring SM Foundation to help in education, particularly in technical vocational education, because through our value chain, as we try to create shared value, there is still a portion of our society that still needs a better platform to access these benefits. So, our SM Foundation is the one that helps close this gap by providing educational scholarship grants for gainful employment and healthcare. And it brings them to a more equitable position to access all the other things we're trying to provide, like opportunities for MSMEs and job creation and all this.
And you mentioned climate change was one of the biggest challenges for the Philippines and for your business. Are you doing anything in less protected areas outside of urban areas, for example, rural areas where your suppliers work? Are you looking at how you can protect those areas in the future as climate change progresses?
Yes. So how we do it is, of course, right now, our SM Resiliency Center helps the resiliency and business continuity capacity of our suppliers where we are present right now. So mostly we are in cities, first and second tier cities in different islands in the Philippines. Now, as for the source of our suppliers, which may come from a more rural area, this is still an opportunity for us, and we are seriously studying it, how we could provide some sort of an insurance product that could help them so that it will help them bounce back faster. We already have right now a resiliency center where their pertinent information can be stored so that it's easier for them to bounce back after a disaster. But yes, we still have a lot of work in that area because we are a bit far from the raw material source, since we deal more with manufactured products already. But yes, we want to look into that.
And how do you engage your board and investors on sustainability? How often do you engage with them? And what are the main concerns?
Yes, we are one of the companies that is very fortunate that we have a board, not only a board, but the family owners are champions and catalysts of sustainability themselves. So because inclusiveness has always been part of the SM's business, the board is quite assertive for the company's ability to innovate our products, our services, and the ways we deliver them to reach a vast majority of our market. So what we have done internally is we have a sustainability steering committee, which is led by our president himself, of which his members are other presidents of our companies. And we also have a technical working group for our whole group and which reports to the steering committee, and I serve as secretariat for this group to make sure that we are able to properly implement, monitor, and evaluate all our programs and also measure our impact as a company. For our investors, we have an investor relations department. This is headed by Tim Daniels, and he works with investors sharing SM's growth story. And we also engage with ESG rating agencies to present a balanced assessment of our ESG performance, of which currently most investors are very particular about. So this is how we work with our board and our investors. And we're very fortunate. We're very fortunate that they are leading it and very hands-on with our sustainability roadmap.
What kinds of concerns do your board and investors generally have? What kinds of questions do they ask you about ESG issues?
So SM, we celebrated our 60th year anniversary, and our board looks very much for the long haul. So it's very long term in the way they think. So their concerns primarily, number one, is really more on the larger scheme of things, in a sense, particularly like the risk in climate change, because that will really affect us in the years to come. No? That's very, very important. It's very pressing, for that matter. The other one that they look into really is our continuous ability to expand, because we do have a responsibility to our stakeholders to generate sustained growth and sustained returns. So this is another area which is generally the concern of the board. Our ability to innovate, to adapt, and even anticipate the market trends. That's another one. And of course, the other general theme that they want to look into is the company's ability to really be a catalyst for development. It is part of our vision. So being in a country where the social gaps, socioeconomic gaps are quite prominent, our board is very keen to make sure that SM is able to help close this gap and help our consumers, our stakeholders, our communities really feel that they are part of the progress, They have embraced our brand. That is why we have grown this far. And we have a strong connection to our stakeholders, our consumers, our communities. And we see a symbiotic relationship. So this they're very concerned about, and they're very passionate about, particularly education, because they believe that this is the way we can optimize this demographic sweet spot, as well as helping SM continue to find the best talents. Through our education program, we are able to hire some of them. They choose to work in SM. They're not obliged to, but they choose to. And they contribute a lot to our growth. And these are the things that more or less our board is particular about. In the climate change, of course, we are aware of the Paris Agreement, and we are reviewing how we could have our own commitment in reducing our GHG. So we have not spelled out our target, but we are slowly working into that.
That brings me on to sustainable development. Obviously, that is a massive focus for SM. Has SM committed to working towards the SDGs? And what's your strategy for achieving the SDGs?
Yes. So we have what we call SM's path to sustainable growth. Like what I shared, our objective is to energize local economies. And how we do this is to harness the synergy of our businesses. So we define this path where it also allowed us to identify our SDG focus areas. So wherever SM operates, number one, we want to provide inclusive economic opportunities through job creation, inclusive supply chain, and inclusive banking products and services. So we identified SDG number 8, decent jobs and economic growth, to be one of our SDG focus areas. And we track ourselves. We think of ways how to generate quality jobs for the people. The other one is we facilitate development because we are, as I said, one of the largest real estate developer. And so we want to improve mobility and connectivity, particularly in a country like ours, and disaster resiliency. So SDG 11 is another of our focus areas. The other one is our climate action, particularly because we are in the Philippines. So apart from protecting our biodiversity, we are focused on conserving resources, financing renewable energy and energy efficiency projects. Our bank has financed about $450 million of sustainable energy projects in the Philippines. The other one is SDG 3 and 4, because like what I mentioned, in a country like ours, we still have a big gap in our social development. So a big portion of our society still needs to have access to better opportunities. And we want to help close this gap in social services. So we provide opportunities in education and healthcare. And lastly, our market capitalization, if you add up our holding company SMIC, SM Prime, that's our property group, and our bank BDO, we account for about 29% of the market capitalization of the Philippine Stock Exchange. So that means for us a lot of responsibility to our stakeholders and also to our country. So our investor relations, actually, when we speak to our investors, we understand our role as a proxy story, the growth story of the Philippines. So we contribute to our national goals, funding national projects like airports, road networks. We are very particular that we contribute proper taxes and all the other programs related to the UN identified by our government. At the same time, we look at our role in the region. So we recently signed with the UN Global Compact. Like I mentioned, we take the lead in the UNISDR in the Philippines. So we understand our role as well in the region and hopefully contributing to global goals. So those are our focus areas. We are in the process of articulating our qualitative and quantitative targets specific to our company, particularly in the area of our contribution to meet the 1.5 degrees Paris Agreement reduction on GHG as well.
For the SDGs, are you working within a larger network of regulators, NGOs, businesses to work towards the SDGs?
Oh, yes. We partner a lot with WWF. We actually work with UNDP. Currently, UNDP in the Philippines is still identifying projects related to the broad themes that they have chosen. So we have had a dialogue with them lately. So we're taking taking their lead. No, we're following their lead on how they want this organized, because UNDP works with our National Economic Development Agency. So they work together on this. We have invited also UN and also our NEDA, that's our Economic Development Agency, when we've hosted the recent UN Global Compact and GRI Sustainability Summit. So these are what we work with. Apart from the UN, we work with GRI, of course, and other agencies. Yes, so, and heavily with WWF, because they, we have one of their international board members, actually one of our independent directors.
Would you say there was a coordinated strategy towards meeting the SDGs in the Philippines, or is there still work to do on that front?
Well, there is a coordinated strategy for the Philippines, but like anything, you know, the SDG goals are quite ambitious. So there is always space for the government and the private sector to work closely together. And in our sustainability summits that we host, we host the GRI summit a couple of years back and then the UN Global Compact just this year. Our objective is to really facilitate this dialogue. So we think SM, with our footprint, we are able to maximize our sphere of influence, perhaps that's the better way to put it, so that we could create this kind of synergy. There is, but there are still a lot of room to grow in this area. And we are committed, once the path is more defined, most definitely we will want to do our share.
Thanks so much for joining me and talking to me, Colleen.
Yes, thank you so much, Zara. We really appreciate this opportunity.